Children can go to children's church. Yes.
And one of your songs you were singing was the love of Jesus. And it just so struck me. Do we have any understanding what the love is really all about? Have we felt it in our bones and our soul? The love of God. Life is in that love.
Amen. 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 Everything he had, he gave. All. Wow.
Hallelujah.
How many has ever had somebody give all for us outside of Jesus? What an opportunity. What a privilege. Praise the Lord. Have there ever been any loud voices around your house?
Yeah.
What are you laughing at? I've been in a few homes, I've been called in, and I could hear them from the outside before I got inside. We don't tolerate that around our house. You keep your voices down. Controlled. Huh? No confessions here now. But there are times in life when people need to be roused from slumber or weariness. And one of the best ways of rousing folks is with a shout.
Amen.
Of the voice. Hey you! Now, when I did substitute teaching, I never practiced raising my voice in the class. I'd find the troublemaker, and I'd go and I'd stand in front of him. Sometimes silence shouts. Webster's National Dictionary defines shout as a loud and sudden cry or outburst of joy, triumph, or encouragement. It also could mean a loud cry of warning to others in a time of danger. Be careful! Watch! The Scripture teaches us that there are times when God's saints need to be given to shouting. for various reasons, and we're going to check out those reasons this morning. People of the world are given to shouting. They shout at ball games, athletic events such as boxing and races, wrestling. How did you know what I was going to say? They shout at demonstrations and protests. You ever seen the news? They're demonstrating in D.C. about something. They'll be shouting, lifting their voices. So the world is not indifferent to loud and sudden outbursts. It seems like the church is becoming less apt to declaring what thus saith the Lord. Lord Jesus, we approach you this morning because we're in need of the touch of the Holy Spirit to minister through this message and through the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts to let us understand the need of the hour and what it is that you, through your Word, is trying to say to our hearts. We depend upon you, Holy Spirit, for the anointing of your presence, not only on the lips of the prophet, but also on the hearts of the hearer. In the name of Jesus. Amen. What are the reasons for shouting? Isaiah said, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." Seems like we're living in an era and a day in which nobody wants to tell anybody else you're wrong. You're not living right. You're living contrary to the Word of God. We have, sad to say, in a lot of churches today are so in debt that they can't afford to offend anybody, because they are depending on every dollar of every person, including the hypocrites, to help get them through their debt and pay their bills. But Isaiah declared boldly in the face of all Israel, we must lift up our voices. And he describes it as a sound, a certain sound is needed, like the sound of the trumpet. I don't know if you've ever been in the service or not, but they used to do what's called revelry in the early morning hours, wake up time. The old trumpeter would blow the trumpet, and you had to wake up. You had to get the sleep out of your eyes. You had to crawl out of bed. Get on the move. There was no laying around. And so Isaiah is saying that kind of thing. There needs to be a wake-up call like the sound of the trumpet, a cry of warning among his people. The reason for the cry of warning is to let people know that God despises sin among his people. Now, you expect to find sinners down in the tavern. You expect to find sinners scattered around the places of the world. You want to find sinners go out there in the world. You hardly expect to find any sinners in the church house. Hello? All of us here this morning, why, we're just squeaky clean. Are you shaking your head for no, Sherman? You know something about somebody I don't know? Oh, all right. You're talking for yourself. We hardly think about the body of Christ and the position of sin there. But that's where God is saying, I have found sin. And that's where Isaiah the prophet is saying the wake-up call needs to be sounded. Judgment is sure to come if the saints are not warned of their sins. There's been a few times in my life that I've had to get an individual from the congregation and take them for a little ride in my car. If I ever pull up in front of your house and say, get in. Look out.
Did they come back?
They came back. But I've had to take them and, you know, go down the road for a ride. I needed to be alone with them. I needed to share with them. So I'd either pull off the road or pull in someplace and turn the engine off and look over and say, you are not living right. And you have a responsibility in the body of Christ. And therefore, because of the sinful lifestyle that you have given yourself to, we need to have this discussion. And that's not an easy discussion to have. Especially if it's your superintendent of the Sunday school, or, you know, I've had that occasion, or you're having church in the house of the fellow you're going to just about kick out. So that's not easy. But you have to sound the alert, says Isaiah. Because the end result is God is going to judge sin. How many believe that? Sin will not get by. Sooner or later, someplace down the road, it has to be dealt with. And we need to sound the alarm. Judgment is sure to come if the saints are not warned of their sins. People are in danger of hell. Listen to the Word of God. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever says to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, wouldn't it be dreadful for a pastor to be pastoring a church and those kinds of things are going on in the hearts of the people, and he never stands in the pulpit and proclaims what is right and what is wrong? Smooth it over. Let it slide. Let it go on by. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. But Isaiah is saying it's time, and it's only right to let the people know what their sins will cause in their life. Bible said in one place, be sure your sins will find you out. Can't hide it, can't cover it over. Sooner or later, it will be exposed. There needs to be a wake-up call that Satan goes about to devour people. You know, if you were working with somebody, like the day when I was loading hay out of a barn up at Mercersburg on a truck, and I picked up somebody picked up a bale of hay right ahead of me, and I reached down to get the next bale, and coiled up on top of the bale was a copperhead. Somebody said, watch! Of course, I saw him right away. We backed off. There was danger. And so, where there is danger, how many know that Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour every one of us. And he's waiting in the shadows. A lot of times he doesn't come prancing in. But he's waiting, ready to pounce. He is setting a field. He is setting a time. I heard Dr. Ray H. Hughes say one time that the devil has a place, a time, and a person for every one of us. And he is patiently, quietly setting us up for that time, that person, in order to deceive us. So we need to hear the voice. Watch out! The devil wants you. Satan desires to have you. He is about his business of trying to claim you. Some are saying that Satan doesn't exist. And do you believe that? How many know the devil is... I sat in seminary in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, the Lutheran Theological Seminary, taking classes there, working on a master's degree, and I heard the professor with a line of doctorates behind his name stand up and say to a potential class of Lutheran pastors, "There is no such thing as a personal devil." Now he taught that. He taught that for years in that seminary. Those young preachers went out to fill congregations, pulpits, and they would assure their people there is no such thing as a personal devil. My Bible tells me differently. Amen? And you just heard one of those scriptures. Demons are real. And we need to wake up to their existence. My grandmother was physically attacked by demons. They would try to choke her. She lived with a demon-possessed man. She was married to him. And he was mean and hateful. And he fought her tooth and toenail. Held a shotgun loaded at her head. And the things of that nature. He was demon-possessed. And she would have these demons that would try to literally, physically choke her. And all she knew was, plead the blood of Jesus. She began to plead the blood of Jesus and they had to leave. They had to go away. We don't think about it so much here in America, but you go to the islands where they practice voodoo and witchcraft. You go to the places where paganism is rampant and you will find demon powers existing and overtaking people's lives. I've seen them already as they squirmed on the floor, frothing at the mouth as you command the demons to come out of individuals that took over their lives. They are real and they are out to get whoever they can get. And we need to be warned of their presence in our midst. There needs to be a wake-up call to doctrines of deception. Listen to what Paul said to the young preacher Timothy. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some would depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now what kind of a church is that? What kind of a preacher is that that would preach that kind of doctrine? And you notice if you go on and read that scripture, it says some of those teaching will forbid people to marry. Who do you know that forbids people to marry? Some of them will forbid people from eating certain food which God has created. Who do you know that says you can't eat that kind of food and makes it a part of their faith and makes it a part of their religion? And some of them will give permission to murder unborn babies. Hello? Submission for those whom God has given over to vile passions to marry and live as equal couples under the law. They are preaching that from pulpits today. They are shouting it aloud. And just recently, a priest in Canada just offered communion to Trapper the dog. He offered the body and blood of Jesus Christ to a dog. Now that is as low as they get. Now, I like dogs. Don't get me wrong, Sister Edna. I pet dogs. When I was in somebody's house this week, and their dog is part of their family, and he came up and jumped up on my knee, and I petted him and said, "How you doing, Rover?" and all of those good things, you know. But Christ shed His blood for the forgiveness of sin to humankind.
Amen.
And to take that which is sacred, to take that which is set aside, and even God warns people, if you're not living right in the way you should, you shouldn't be taking of communion, because it would bring about sickness and death in your body if you're doing it against the will of God and the holiness of God. And to take that and give it, the body of Christ, to the dogs. Shout the truth of Jesus Christ. We need to shout it aloud. Hey, world, listen! You're headed down the wrong path, and you're giving your soul and your case to Satan. Turn around, repent, and get right with God. We need to shout the truth that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
One of the reasons I don't cooperate with the ministerial council in Washington County and in Smithsburg is because they expect you to sit on the platform with Buddhists and Muslims and Hindus and publicly state that you believe they're on the same path you are. And I refuse. There's only one way. That way is through Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. There's no other way to God but by Jesus Christ. That's the first reason. Now, how much time do I have left? Some of you waited until 10 after to get here for service, so I'll preach a little longer. Shout, secondly, because God dominates the earth. What? God's in control of this old earth? Boy, it don't look like it to me, huh? Look at all the cigarette butts laying at the next traffic light when you stop. In your front yard. What are you doing out there? We have to pick up the beer bottles out here in the church lot a lot of time before we can mow the grass. God's in control. He dominates the earth. Listen to what the Scripture says. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great King over all the earth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Who is it that makes the sun come up every morning? That makes the earth turn on its axis? Who is it that gives us rain when we need it? We must not need it yet. Huh? What do we do when there's not rain? We pray. What do we do when there's plenty of rain? We just take it for granted. We just, oh wow. How many of us get up when it's raining nice and hard and say, praise the Lord? How many of us get up in December when it's 60 inches of snow on the ground and say, "Praise the Lord"? Yeah, neither one of you have to shovel. Amen? God is the King of the earth. He's the one that makes it all work. He's the one that brings it all together. You're the flowers bloomed anyhow, in spite of the rain. The birds are still singing, in spite of the lack of rain. The squirrels are still standing in my backyard with their paws up in the air, in spite of the lack of rain. The rabbits are still jumping in my backyard, in spite of the rain, a lack of rain. God is King over all the earth. We need to let some people know that we believe He's in control. And the writer said, shout it out! The next time Al Gore comes through town, we need to all line the street and say, "Al, hug the tree, but shout, God is King." Amen. We shout thirdly because God defends us. Oh my, how many of us has ever been in a position we need to be defended? So-and-so's going to beat you up. And I don't particularly want to face them, so somebody else step in. Listen to what the Word says. The psalmist says, "But let all those who rejoice... let all those who rejoice, who put their trust in you, let them ever," what? "Shout for joy because you defend them." If we only knew how many times the devil was about to clobber us, and the angel of the Lord stepped in and said, "Whoa." Remember that scripture says God will not allow anything to come on you but what you're able to bear. He will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. You remember that scripture where He says when Satan comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Who's the standard? God says, "Whoa, devil. That's all the further you can come." Amen. I remember in high school, we had a couple of fellows in the class. They were a little overweight or this or that. They just weren't, you know. And I was just a skinny fellow, 137 pounds, soaking wet. But I was tall and lanky. And I was mean looking. I had my ducktail and my hair back, and I wore my collar up. You know, you ever see the fawns? That was me. Yeah. And there were a couple times, and these fellows were picking on these others, and I stepped in between. I said, "Hey, you want to pick on somebody? Pick on me. I can handle it. I can take care of it." And stepped in between. Isn't it wonderful to know that when the devil comes about as a roaring lion, you have the presence and the power of God that'll step in and say, "Whoa, boy. Down, boy." Amen. Amen. I kind of know what that feels like. I went one time when I was selling magazines in college. I pulled into this farm and this big old German shepherd came running, tearing out toward my little 59 Simca. And he put both paws on top of the car. I was still inside. And he was looking in the window at me. I had the window up as high as I could get it. And he was rocking the car. And the girl came out on the porch and said, "Stay in the car. I can't do anything with him. Daddy comes home at 5 o'clock. Come back then." I said, "All right." I backed out. 5 o'clock, I went back. Here come the dog. Daddy came out on the front porch. And he said to the dog, "Back, The dog went back halfway between the house and the car and sat down along the walk. And Daddy said, "Now you can get out." And I said, "Are you sure?" I got out, started walking in the walk, and when I got about to where the dog was, Daddy said, "All I have to do is tell him to get you." I kept on walking. Once I got in the house and came back out, could pet him on the head, rub him, whatever. But no way. I was glad Daddy was there. Amen? He intervened. He got between me and the dog, or his voice did, and said, "You behave." And the dog behaved. I'm glad I have a Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. That when the devil comes in like a flood, he said to the old boy, "Back off."
Yeah.
And the devil backs off. How many times has he defended us?
Amen.
In our lifetime? We have no idea. We don't know how many times in the future. You know, I wonder how many times when I'm riding 1,000 miles here or there back and forth, and I'm going by that 18-wheeler and I look over and he's only 2 feet from me, and I'm doing 70 and he's doing 70, and we're trying to get ahead of each other, and I say, "What if that front tire? What if, you know?" How many times has the angel of the Lord kept him over there when he would have had a tendency to come across? I thank God for his defense. I want to shout it aloud. "Hey, devil, hear me. My Jesus defends me. Back off, buddy." There are times, and I've been in revivals, and I've been preaching already, where the devil physically attacked me. And I'd literally say to the devil, "Get behind me. I've got somebody in me that's stronger than you are. Don't mess." Listen to what Isaiah said. He said, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn." The "you" is God. "This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord." Hallelujah. No weapon anybody can try to get at you. You're on the job and you're working with some dude that's trying to get your goat. Don't let him know where you tie your goat. Amen. That's the first key. And the second one is, you trust in the Lord. And no weapon formed against you can overcome. I said you can overcome. When he attacks you physically, hallelujah, you rest in the Lord. Christ is my victor. Christ is my overcomer. If I'm healed, praise the Lord, I'm victorious. If I die, praise the Lord, I'm still victorious.
Amen.
Then in Psalm 31, the psalmist said, "Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous." Wow, that's strong stuff. God is saying, watch how you talk about a saint of God. Watch how you talk about one of my children. Watch how you talk about this one or that one that is serving me. If you're not careful, you might die. Lying lips be put to silence. What else is that talking about? We need to be... Gossip in the house of the Lord could be deadly. I'm moving on. Next, shout because God dwells inside of us. Whew, hallelujah. Cry out and what?
Shout.
What?
Shout.
All right. Alive here, folks. Wake up. "Oh, inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." Praise. Praise the Lord. God is in our... Did you realize that this morning? When you came to church, you were going to be in the presence of God? Did you recognize that? Or did you say, well, I'm just going to sit beside Sister Wegley again today? Yes, I'll come in. And did you notice the early family home is working on their second pew now? Praise the Lord. Glory. Keep them coming, Christy. Oh my, somebody else's turn next, huh? Yeah. All right. Come into the house of God and sit down and know, whew, God is here. Wow. How many of you come in on a Sunday morning and shake hands with the Lord? He's in our midst. And Isaiah says, shout it aloud. The Lord is in our midst. Man said, there was a man that said, he shouts inwardly. You know, he's one of these. I shout inwardly. But he was seen at his son's ball game. And his son hit a home run. He wasn't shouting inwardly. He was up! Man lie about that, lie about anything, won't he? Amen. So those of you that are nice and calm and reserved, it's all right to let it out.
Amen.
In the right way. At the right time, amen. But he is saying, be happy because God is in you. Listen to what Paul said to Colossians. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Cheryl, did you look in the mirror before you came this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
All right. Did you say, Cheryl, Jesus is in you?
I didn't say it, but I know it.
Yeah. Next morning, tomorrow morning, you get in there and say, Cheryl, Christ is in you. Christ is in you. And especially if you get up in the morning and you don't like the reflection you see. Start this way. Christ is in you. Get to feeling better right away. Christ dwells within us. Do you stop and think about that? When you're going to work on a Monday morning and you don't feel like going to work and you, oh, another day. Who's that fellow on TV? They don't show it anymore, do you? Not another day. Not another day. Can't take it. Not another day. But if you start saying, Christ in me, the hope of glory, hallelujah, I can take on the world, I can do a good job today, Christ is in me. Paul said to the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I have Jesus in me. And then in Colossians again, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Sherm, Christ in you. You love Jesus? You know He has forgiven you of your sins? He's in you!
Hallelujah.
Amen! Next time you meet somebody that looks cross-eyed at you, just look at them and say, you better watch! Jesus is in me! First John 4:4, you are of God, little children. Oh, and have overcome them because He is in you. He who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Glory. Come on, devil. Come on. We can overcome anything. Hello? We can overcome the world. I don't care. Oh, I was going political right there and I just caught it. I'll zip that one up. I don't care who's in office. Republicans or Democrats or Tea Partiers. Amen. I don't care who has power. Christ is in us.
Amen.
We have the hope of glory.
Right.
And greater is He that is in us. Amen. I don't care what Wall Street's doing. Amen. I do care. I want to retire. But if it goes south, it goes south. I have the hope of glory within me. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And then last of all, shout because of God's mercy to us. Listen to this scripture. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and what? Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Why? Because the Lord's mercy surrounds us. Have I ever needed mercy? Anybody else here ever needed mercy? Did Dad ever look at you and point his finger and you said, "Oh, Dad, mercy"? No! You've never needed a spanking? Oh. Oh, but you've never asked for mercy. Oh. Has he ever given it? Oh, he has. Good dad. How many here has ever needed mercy from God?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Hold them up.
Yes.
I see some of you got them down here. Yeah. Mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
You needed mercy, Casey? Mom's needing mercy right now. I see you pecking her on the arm back there. Aren't you glad that we have a God that surrounds us? Oh my! Have you ever in a moment when you weren't thinking, said or did something or gave a look at somebody? Aren't you glad God had mercy right there? Do you ever get up in the morning and the wife fix you a burnt offering for breakfast? I see Jessica smiling. Mercy! Isn't it good to have mercy?
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful to know that somebody forgives you? Isn't it wonderful to know that before you ask, you know they've already forgiven? Oh, wow. Isn't that marvelous? That's mercy. And the writer says, shout. Shout for joy because of the mercy of God that surrounds you. Stand with me this morning. As a Christian, you have plenty of reason to shout.
Amen.
Therefore, don't be walking around defeated and with your head hanging down. Shout! Lift up your head and shout unto the Lord. For when you do, the walls come tumbling down flat.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you have walls of defeat around you, you have walls of jealousy around you, you have walls of sickness or whatever it is that is around you, you begin to shout the shout of God, the joy of the Lord, and you'll find the walls that are surrounding you will come falling down flat. Amen? How many know God is good? Let's say it aloud. God is good. Now, add to me on it. God is good to me. Amen. Shake hands with somebody and say, and you too.